This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and we consider this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said, a parable of 10 virgins. So our subject this morning, the parable of 10 virgins. So we'll try to go through the narrative and see how we can also draw lessons from them. And obey, yes, I say, I share, Mbebu Samoa, yes, we so far, Kafa, Mbebunum, Edu, ah, now Omogushia, Ayofokun, Mwasem. And on that, if I say, I share, and obey, now Matthew 25, 1 to 30. But the first thing before we move on, this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ is to caution all who claim to follow him. And the Lord Jesus Christ often did this when he was on earth. He didn't want anybody to presume to be a follower. And he helped, all to see. And these are examples for us also, as we all claim to be his followers. Because though there are always true and false believers, yet many hope that at the day of Christ's return, he will receive all who call, who name his name, or who call themselves Christians or his followers. And he doesn't want anyone to deceive him or herself. So the Bible is ever clear on that, and it helps to us that God doesn't leave us to just in our own mind follow him, and at the end of the day, our expectations to be achieved. So, All who claim to be believers hope that when Christ returns, we shall receive us to his kingdom. All who come to church, or at least who have knowledge of Christ, claim that they are saved. And at least many believe that they have known forgiveness of sins by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The can say, Nipa do dona, a sorry, and also when you before you speak to Hono, Editum said, Munyanqua. A book was on Yanqua, no, on the two young ones, maybe on yet, you should at least own Castle on Yanqua. And I will be also, I guess, yes, we saw the one year chain. A idea would be a cancer assembly. And then Jeffrey will say, Christopher, so we all call them ourselves Christians. But the question is it true that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will receive everyone who named his name to his kingdom, that he will welcome all who have been in the church, or who have knowledge of him? The question to this answer is answered for us by the parable we have before us. So I come to the parable. Proverbs 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So before we go on again, in this parable, the bridegroom represents Lord Jesus Christ, and these 10 virgins, the people who will say Christians, that's what I'll say. So that's what we have to put in mind as we go on. So in all, the admission of people to heaven at the end of the world is compared to this parable. How these virgins were going to meet the bridegroom is compared to how all who claim to be Christians somehow are preparing to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. But this parable was part of his answer to his disciples in chapter 24, verse 3. And we are told that as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So it's a continuation of his answer. Part of it were concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, which was destroyed in AD 70 when Christ went to heaven. And so there's that idea that he's coming to destroy the people of Israel, their nation, political nation, and their privileges. It was done. And the path also carries it to the end of the world, as we are told in it. So, it was part of his answer. So, maybe, sir, I know, say, It is from chapter 24. And we know here, no, not the parable, and the torso. A thread, Messi, my dear, Messi, no, he has said. Because the last verse of chapter 25, verse 13 tells us that, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So it's a caution for us to all be prepared and watchful, waiting for his return. So, this parable the Lord used, he used a custom by the Jews during marriage to illustrate how the state of things will be when he returned to this earth. And to all those who claim to know him, how their stand will be before him. In the Jewish marriage, I learned that there were three stages in their wedding in Jesus' time. I don't know if they still do it at this time. First, there was the engagement. That's the formal agreement made by the fathers, the two families. Second, there was the betrothal, where mutual promises were made by the couples. And lastly, the marriage proper, which takes place about a year after these two stages have been completed. And at the time when the bridegroom will come at an unexpected time to take his bride home. And usually we are told that it happens in the night. He comes time unannounced and in the night. In the night when they will know that he's coming for at this particular day or day and in the evening, but they don't know the particular hour in the night that he comes. So he may delay a bit so that they will be expecting his presence. So in the night, the bridesmaids will go out to meet the bridegroom with lamps lighted. There will be a group of bridesmaids waiting. When they hear he's coming, then they go out and meet him. And remember, in those days, there was no electricity, so they used lamps as they used them. And they will lead him and his companions to the house of the bride. So they will lead him to the house of the bride, where he will go and fetch his bride to his house, to his home. So again, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The air can say, Israel for me, I'm worried, Sam Reno. Now, you see, I'm worried, I'm not sure, So like the marriage ceremony just described, the 10 virgins represent all who claim to be true believers or Christians. So this makes friends of the bride, the friends of the bride who will come to welcome him, and they expect that he will welcome them because they are part of that group. And so, as the same way, all Christians, as I said, are in an expectation of Christ's second coming. Even when people don't know much about the Bible, as long as they claim, they have knowledge of Christ, or they be Christians, they have that idea that, oh yes, when you go to the street and ask people, do you know Christ will come? Yes, Christ will come. Do you know that the day of judgment will come? Yes, the day of judgment will come. Are you prepared? That's where the problem is. But then everyone is expecting the coming of Christ. So we are told these virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So the 10 virgins taking their lamps also indicate their readiness to meet the bridegroom. So there's a lamp that will give them light on their way to meet him when he comes. So this readiness is also pictured in every Christian who claims to wait for the return of Christ. We have that waiting idea in our mind that Christ will return. And also the alarms, we take it to represent the outward show of religion, that which identify them with the group, like the lamp with the virgins. And so every Christian has an outward show of religion. There's something that we are using to show that we are Christians. Yes, people claim it falsely, but at least Why are you Christian? Well, I attend church. Maybe I pray. Maybe I read the Bible. I mean, there are so many reasons. If somebody tells I'm a Christian, it doesn't tell you any of these things. I'm sure you say that you are not a Christian because Christians do this and that and that. They can say,
I'm a Christian.
So that outward show, because that identifies him or her as a Christian. So this outward show of religion is found among all who profess Christ and his gospel, at least. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ words in Matthew 5:16. He said, "Let your light so shine before men. Let the grace you have received, let your Christianity show out as before men. Show that you are my people." So at least everybody who have come to the knowledge, not the saving knowledge, I mean, but at least have some idea of Christianity, show by their outward life that they are Christians. As you know, Muslims also, at least, when we look at their dressing and their manners, they are Muslims. So that is it. And you know, Muslims go to the mosque, the Christians will come to the meeting place of believers. So at least, that is it. Let your life show shine, so shine before men. Yes, Christ can say, "Mama, moha, and shine when you pay this." Remember in Antioch, the people who followed Christ were called Christians because of how they were doing, how they were showing as people who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere, when they saw the preaching of what some of the disciples did, they realized they have been with Christ. They have learned from him. So at least, the outer show of religion is what this lamp represents. At least, this is what sure that we are part of the flock of Christ. So all Christians show by their worship and life that they are friends of Christ. But are all who claim to be Christians really true? That's the question. Now so almost a Christian and prayer now. And me saying, so we go on, verse 2. And among these 10 virgins, we are told that verse 2 says, "And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." So in this part of the parable, Lord Jesus Christ makes distinction between this group, the 10 group of 10 bridesmaids. He now shows that they are together. But as time goes on, he's showing how they are different. Though they claim to have lamps and light as together. And this also tells us that always, all who claim to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will always be found genuine ones and false ones at all times. Remember, among the 12 apostles, there was Judas. And subsequently in church history, throughout time, there has always been a mixture of false and good ones. So 5 of them were wise. These were wise as to provide extra oil for their lamps. The wise took oil in their vessels in their lamps. They took extra oil in a container apart from the one in their lamp, so that when there is the one in the lamp is getting, they can refill. And that is the practice then. They made sure that they had extra oil for their lamp, which will keep their lamps burning until the arrival of the bridegroom. So they knew, at least they are aware of what they have to do before they can really meet the bridegroom. And we are told, "And 5 were foolish, and 5 were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them." These were foolish because they didn't make provision for an additional oil for their lamps. They just took their lamps and they went, knowing that the whole night cannot sustain such a lamp. And the lamps in those days, we have something, the kind of lamp that it was common there, but I don't know nowadays. There's a container, and you put kerosene. Sometimes we put kerosene in it, and you cover it, and you make a hole in it. You put a wick, like a thread-like clothes. So when the wick soaks the oil or kerosene, when you light it, then the light will come. And as this this fire is burning, then the kerosene is also decreasing. So at the point in time, you have to open it and refill. So that is, no, theirs wasn't like that. Also that the lamp of those days considered was a saucer-shaped vessel with a cover in the middle, and there was a small hole for pouring the oil and for providing air, and one side a spark stick out, and the wick came out. So it's similar to what I just said about our local ones. I mean, when we go to villages, so those who sell by the roadside, those places where there are no electricity, you see them always using it. It's a common lamp. So, and that lamp always, if you are using it, you always have to refill it. You always have to refill it. I mean, some few hours you have to open it, and for else it will go. By the time you don't have any light. And so such lamp will not contain enough oil to burn all night. So to carry it to a prolonged wedding feast without an extra oil was a strong indication of carelessness. So these foolish virgins were careless because traditionally they knew this kind of lamp will not last them, the oil will not last them throughout the night. So it was a show of carelessness. They didn't really consider much. They did. I don't know why they did, but that's what they did. So let's learn some few lessons and how this represents deeply about us. So as the lamps, as I said, represent the outer show of religion, so the oil for the lamps also represent the inner principles that actuate a person's religion. The motivations in the heart, the actions in the heart that move people to act outwardly concerning their religion. Now, there are many Christians, their Christianity is just in the head. They're just a notional adherence to the outward Christian practices. Do this, do that. That is all they think Christianity is about. Their mind devotion and holiness are in appearance only. All their Christianity is church attendance, maybe outwardly doing some good, maybe seeing praying or something, doing some readings. That is all that is about. In their heart, deeply, there's nothing that goes on there. They don't mourn for their secret sins. They don't even care of their sins. They think, oh, Christ has died for our sins, so that is all. They don't care to know how they stand before God. They don't care to compare the Bible to their claims that the Bible tells us so many things that show that who a Christian is. They don't even bother. So long as they come to church and they are part of the church, they are okay. That is carelessness. They show great morality and humility only to seek applause of men. If they show any morality, it's for people to see that, oh, for them, they are also Christians. It is not that they are doing to please God. That from their heart, they don't see, even whether men see it or not, they don't care about that. Even when they are doing good, they want people to see that they are good people. This kind of people, and this is how they claim the thing that Christianity is about. They can say, They claim to be new creatures in Christ, but their pride and their other sins are still up. So that their pride and vain ambitions have never changed. One thing that happens to us when we come to Christ is that He conquers our pride. When we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and pray for forgiveness of sins, He gives us a new nature that makes us to hate our sins. It's not that there will be no sin in our heart, or we'll never sin. But he gives us that renewed mind that every sin we begin to fight against, not the bigger ones, every sin that we see, temptation to sin, he helps us to try to avoid. And these things are not natural to us. And it increases daily. Not once, every sin. That even when we are weak in it, we are always striving to get out of it. Each and every day, becoming better, better, better. So, these people also claim to have this new nature, but they don't have this blessing. The blessing of being born again, that makes everyone hate sin inwardly, outwardly, again in others. You see, when we are born again, also, not only do we hate our sins, when we see people doing wrong, we are troubled. Even if we cannot do anything to change it, we are mourning. We feel that, oh, that they also knew the Lord. Oh, that they also knew that there's forgiveness for sin where they can overcome such things, so that such people can be saved. So you see that being born again, which is an evidence of life of God, the very image of his nature in the soul. These people, these Christians that are represented by this verse, are ignorant of this. They are ignorant of this life of God in the soul. And this life of God in the soul, don't just try preaching it for us on the cross of Calvary. When he died there for sinners, when he went to the cross and died in our place. That's when the Bible says he took our place. He took our place so that while he forgives our sins, he gives us that life that we lost in Adam. Because we are told that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God, his holiness and righteousness, that sincerity of life, we have lost in Adam. So naturally, from infancy, we are all covering our sins one after the other. And the more we grow up, then God, we are told that the grown-up people don't sin. I mean, they don't do bad because we like when we are in the house with our children, the children see us, oh, come for daddy or mom, they always do right. But so we carry the same attitude before God. No, before God, there's sins in us. But Christ, when he died on the cross, he pitches this blessing so that deep in our hearts, we begin to fight the sins over there. And all who sincerely repent and come to the Lord and open their heart sins before him, he saves. And then he forgives. And then he gives this blessing of having that power to overcome our sins. But many who claim to be Christians are ignorant of this part of Christianity. They don't care. Well, as I said, they care at least about the outer sins, which will make people see them as bad. But that sins in deep in the heart, envy, lust, hatred, love for money and love for prestige and luxury, it's in the heart. This one, even when somebody is poor, he's trying to acquire more. When somebody is rich, he's trying to acquire more and even maintain. You see, we are not saying that trying to acquire more to live is wrong, but people put their heart in this, as if these things keep their life. That's what we are saying. And this attitude, when the Lord saves us, he makes us to see the vanities of the things of the world. You know what Apostle Paul told Timothy? That all the bad things the Lord has blessed us, we should be content with. Because it is true that we came to this world empty, and we go out empty. So that though the Lord may bless us much, but that shouldn't be our hope in life. He should be our hope. And his forgiveness for our sins and securing eternal life for our soul should be our hope. Going to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive us. This is what is most important. So, some of you end him, sir, idea where I can be. But this is what Christianity is about. It's not just the outward worship and everything. It is true, that is bad. But if this is missing, all the outward show are vain. It doesn't make anyone accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are also some, their Christianity is just mere Bible doctrine, knowledge of Bible doctrines. They have learned so much of the doctrine, they can speak nicely about them, divide them, and speak well. But the influence of the gospel on their souls, the power of the gospel is not known to them. They have no power of the gospel to their souls. So now these Christians are pictured as the foolish virgins. A Christopher, and get a whole day to sign them. One day, this one is to home. Their Christianity is not led by the spirit, but by their flesh. All that motivates them to even be obedient to Christ is for themselves. It's not for Christ. It's not for His glory. It's not for the glory of the Lord. It's not for the glory of heaven. No, they don't care about that. For their fame, and for what people may see them as they are good people, not what God will see them as they are. Because God seeing us who we are before Him, it goes deep in our heart. For we are told that the Lord weighs our thoughts. He weighs our heart. That's where it begins. So if you think that my outward show should be accepted by the Lord, no. If it's genuine, it must start from the heart. The motives behind what I do, that's where true religion begins. So, this foolish virgin, their Christianity is not led by the Spirit, they are led by the flesh. We are told in Romans 8, verse 9, that now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of sanctification. Yes, Christ, I know him, no, I did 20 years, and then come from your bear, come in. So that I cannot claim to be a Christian if I am missing this work of the Spirit in the soul. And nowadays, Christianity is just about mouth. Many people claim to be Christian, but they don't care about the inner work of the Spirit. If I have this, we know. Yes, I mean, and it's very popular by these preachers who say, oh, just confess Christ, and you are done. What's the shout? Yes, we have to confess Him. Every day, He will work in our hearts. He will come to dwell us. And we have that inner indwelling of the Spirit that moves us to genuineness. So the wise virgins are the Christians whose religion is regulated by inner principles of by the Spirit of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, if it were to be Bible, say we have gone to some chapter verses there, it's so clear about it that they that have that the Spirit of Christ, they are his, and those who don't have it are none of his. So these wise were. We see that they have a lamp and the oil will last to the time of the bridegroom coming. So we see that the inner principle is not just on the, it's not just a sham, it's deeply something which can last to the time of Christ. And this inner principle of by the Spirit is kept alive by the continual supply of the Spirit's work of sanctification in the heart. The work that the Spirit begins in the heart, He continues to the day of Christ. Remember what Apostle Paul told this morning. He said that he's confident that he that has begun a good work in them will continue to do it to the day of Christ. And that is what we talk of, having a continuous life in Christ till He comes. It's not just Christianity is not like obvious. Today I'm high, today I'm low. Yes, a true Christian sometimes becomes low in faith, but he doesn't lose that work of the Spirit in his soul, whereby he abandons everything and lives anyhow, then he is gone. No, there's that continuous work of the Spirit ever keeping us alive as Christians. So, verse 5, Matthew 25, verse 5. So while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. The idea here is that the bridegroom coming seem to have been delayed. They waited and waited, and as I told you about that Jewish marriage, the day will be announced maybe, and they know it will be in the night, but at a particular hour, nobody knows. So it comes at its own, desire. So all these bridesmaids felt tired, waiting, and they slept. And this also says, although all Christians do not know the exact hour of Christ's return, yet the genuine Christian will have been made, have been ready for Him. They will have seen, they will have made sure, as Apostle Paul says, that when you do these things, then you are, make sure of your calling, and make your calling and election sure. There are things that show that, though the world is, as they say, everything is going on, but though the true Christians also don't know when Christ will come, yet they are making sure that their faith are genuine. They try to see scripture light on how genuine Christians should be. And so as Apostle Peter even laid down what things we have to do in 1 Peter so that we are sure of our salvation. They continue to do that. They grow in that and they make sure. So, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Yes, both the foolish and wise, they all became tired and slept. And yet, you see, when He comes, we see the difference. Verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Go ye out, verse 7, also, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. As an unexpected hour, all the virgins were waiting by the announcement of the coming of the bridegroom. And they were all awake. They all came up to life. Yes, we are going to meet the bridegroom. Our friend is coming, and he will accept us. And that is the day of judgment, the day that Christ will come to judge the world. Yes, all will come to judgment. All, both sinners and unbelievers, and even Christians, both false and good Christians, will be awakened by the call. We are told that the trump of the archangel will sound, with the shout of the trump of the archangel will sound, and all, even those who have died years before, will rise up, and then all will go and meet him. So that's the day. So this picture is that it was announced that he cometh. Go out to meet him, and they all wake up to go and meet him. So that the day of Christ, we shall all be this. I mean, even those who never bow to Christ, who never, I mean, care about him, we shall all be aroused to that day. And I remember one of our Sunday school, I mean, the weeknight lesson some time ago, said that the appointment that no one can miss. Yes, there are so many appointments in this world we can decide to miss. We can decide not to come to church. We can decide not to go to some place. But the day of summoning to judgment, nobody can miss. It's like when you have sinned against the state, or you have done a crime and the police are after you. Yes, you can run and run, but when they catch you, you cannot. I remember my uncle says, when the government handcuffs on your hand, you cannot run away. And that is true. I mean, the day will come when none can. I mean, those who have been running from coming to God, they can never run away. Now they must come to him for judgment for their sins. But now in life, we will come to him for mercy and for forgiveness of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that day, we only come for justice. We have to meet him for retribution. So as we have said that we don't know the hour he'll return, but it's an unexpected hour. As Christ himself told us in the verse 13. Let me read it to you again. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So you see that idea runs through each one of the steps where he's making the distinction between the virgins. We see that. And even after this point, we see that the idea of what? Waiting for what we don't know when he's coming is running through all. So that is how it is going to be. So then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Both the wise and the full virgin awoke and prepared their lamps. So trimming their lamps, making it sure to be brighter. And how does it reflect also the day of Christ coming? Everyone will examine his claim of Christianity in readiness to do anything. Because the day of judgment will arouse us to think, how has been my Christianity? How has been my claims of being a Christian? At the Mudano, Epanas, the Libya, and also, oh, okay. Some cannot be a Christian. Some is me a Christian, you know, because he's like, I have Papa and I have Papa. And that day, before even Christ will pronounce judgment, all false Christians will realize, because the friends of Christ will have such a joy at that day. They will have such a comfort at that day. Those who are not sure of being in Christ, but yet claim to be Christians, they will be anxious that day. There will be anxiety, they will be anxious. So, there will be examination. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. All of them were ready to meet him. Verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Give us of your oil. And see, So we see that the foolish were now sensible of their folly, of their neglect, and of their carelessness, because the time had come. At the last hour, the light of their lamps were extinguished. Now they can be seen, because when they are moving, they could be seen that only five having light, because it's an individual light, and five have no light. It will be clear to them, and it was clear when they woke up to trim. I'm sure when they were trimming, they tried to repair them. When they light, there was no light, so they realized that they have no light. So indeed, they did have lamps, but it was empty of oil. You see, as I said, many have religion of Christianity, but empty of true Christianity. Such will be the lot of the hypocrite Christian at the last day. they have lived as religious persons, but they lost the vital religion, religion of the heart, religion of true reflection of what the Bible wants us to be as Christians, which begins with forgiveness of sin, repentance, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the giving of His Spirit, and making us anew, now changing our worldview, having the Bible as authority, regulating every area of our life, and becoming more dedicated to the service of Christ. Because it's a change. When we are saved, we are given a Spirit. It works in us to desire more of the things of Christ. Yet people claim to be saved, they claim to desire more of the things of Christ, but they are motivated by different principles at all. And many, remember the parable of the tares. When the servant said, oh, should we go and cut off the bad one? He said, no, wait. The day that we are all ready to be harvested. So it is as we see it. So this is what religion, but they are destitute of vital religion. When you read most of the old writers, the Puritans and others, they are very careful about, they are very particular about vital religion. But today, churches are not helping. Churches are just there. You are welcome to come and worship. You are welcome. All for here, everyone is welcome. You come, become a member, and that is all. And it's a soul damning churches. Because somebody may come, well, he doesn't know much. So the church is supposed to even help the person to know his state. Yeah, we are supposed to know, but I think that when he comes, he should be helped. But they go, all that they get their money and tell them false prophecies. And people are so happy to follow them. And people have no idea of what true Christianity is about. They think that going to church, going to prayer camps, and joining, no, that's what I said last time, dawn prayers online, and then that's all that people think about Christianity. It's nonsense. It's sham. That's not what Christianity is about. You see? So this parable is a very big lesson to us. It's not what Christianity is about. The vital religion, religion of the heart. So they have, these who have no union with Christ, they have no knowledge of the sanctification by His Spirit. They have a name as Christian, but they are dead to spiritual life. They are, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, believers are waking from dead in sin to life in Christ. But those who are dead in sin, but they claim to be among those who are Christians. And perhaps even this foolish virgin who have been ridiculed, those who are very careful to keep on. Why do you bother yourself? He will come very soon. Why do you bother yourself with additional help? And that is what we have today. When true Christians want to be self-denying and have show total trust in Christ's righteousness, when they are so careful to obey Christ's commands, even when they are difficult, they are asking for grace to be able to do it. Those who don't know this part of Christianity, sometimes they make a mockery. They make a fun of those who are serious. Why, but we are all Christians. Why you bother yourself with much so-called Christianity? You think that only you can go to heaven. Have you heard that comment before? It's all over. But Christianity is not just a show. Remember how Christ told his disciples that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But how many people think of this? Denying yourself, making yourself as nobody, and taking the cross of Christ, suffering for him, living for him, and his commands will make the world to hate you, dislike you. Not all of your ways, at least some of them. So these people, the five virgins, they realized that they were wrong at last. So false Christians who realized that the last day that the way to life lies in the way they have despised. The very vital Christianity that they have put away, they thought that it was nonsense. Nowadays they'll tell us, when you are talking about with sound Bible preaching from Bible, they will say, oh, it's archaic, it's the old preacher's way of preaching. That's what people tell you. They want the preacher quoting a verse and speaking all nonsense about his personal life and all the ideas of the world and calling blessing upon them. No. The old preachers and they preach on the Bible. The Puritans and those who were before them, who were careful to teach the Bible. But today, even pastors even scorn that. They say, oh no, that is old kind of Christianity. Now we want that Christianity that come with power. That power is power of foolishness. That's not the spirit power. The spirit power is not pushing people around and calling blessings on. No, that is not. The spirit power works within the heart. Remember what Christ told Pilate. Pilate said once, and I forgot what he said, that I think Pilate was trying to tell me that he doesn't have any power, he doesn't have any authority, and look at what they are doing to him. He said that my kingdom is not of this world. If it were this world, I would call legions to come and fight for me. And that settles it. So that's the show and the unnecessary act. Christ himself, look at the humility he went to his death. He didn't put up any kind of. And you see this in church, the thing that, I mean, church is about, fleshly pomp and show. No, that is not. Christianity is not that. The true working of the Spirit doesn't come with show and pomp. So let's go to verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, as they have, the foolish have asked them, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, buy for yourself. So now, the foolish desire the portion of the righteous, and it will be impossible for the last day. The careless Christian wish to have the Lord with the true believers, and it will be impossible for the last day. You can never buy it. You can never, salvation and true life in Christ never bought. Sincere repentance, faith, and dedication to Christ must be now. At that day, there's no time for that. At that day, you are going to meet justice. So you see, the goal and battle, go and find yours, go and look for yours. Otherwise, we cannot share with you. Salvation is not shared. Family, father, mother cannot share his Christian life with a baby or with son or daughter. He must direct and help the child to also come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, nobody can share his life in Christ with anybody. So verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So while the foolish ones successfully struggled to obtain oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the wives went along with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. No more additional guests will be allowed. No more, the guest has been secured. So it is, true Christians are dead, while the return of Christ will enter into the joy of the Lord. You see, Christians, our entrance to heaven, maybe when we die, when Christ comes, immediately we die, Christ receives us. Remember Stephen, when they were stoning him, he said, the Lord opened his eyes so that he saw the Lord sitting on his throne. And that is, I mean, we may not at the dead see us even so, but immediately we look, our life is ended in this, so the Christians are ushered into glory. Remember Lazarus and the rich man, what the example Christ said. The rich man, the sinner died, and immediately he opened his eyes, he was in torment in hell. The Lazarus died, and he was ushered into Abraham's bosom, a picture of what, blessedness, and a picture of damnation. And that is how it is. Whether Christ returned or at the time of death, the believer will be. Will enter into the joy of their Lord. Heaven will receive us if we are truly the new people. If we are people who have trusted in Christ, who have repented of sin, and have really sought forgiveness for our sins, and He has heard us, given us His Spirit, moving by, being living our Christian life, being actuated by the Spirit, and being our Christian life being actuated by the Spirit means that our Christian life is motivated, is guided by the Word of God alone. Now, the people think of, when you talk of the spirit control, I think of, sitting down and thinking, some idea comes to my mind, and so the spirit have directed me. No, that's, we are talking about being led by the word of God as it is written, without any addition. So while access will always be closed to the people who are Christians, the believer, the genuine one will have access to God. This wedding, those who are the lambs were ushered in. And those who didn't have, it was shut to them. That's the picture. So you see, access to heaven must be desired by and sought for by now. While we have breath, we should never play when we of our salvation. We should, and that should be our greatest thing we will seek after. As Christ himself told us that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And people are rather seeking other things and trying to add some idea of Christianity to them. No, we have to seek him first. You have to seek forgiveness. Also, if you share your father, a smoke or a decay, a bravo there, the BCBR announced me, you know. See, a yard will grow, or say, the advice, I see, so I hear why the job is done, the best thing. And I'm sure we all know, those who have died, nobody took a penny to their grave. Even when you go to the grave, when somebody died, they will put some money, but the tradition, they believe that when you die, you go and cross the river. So they will put some coins, and when you go, you give it to those who are, and also they will put something, when you go, give it to our ancestors. It's holy. There's nothing there. Immediately we die, we take nothing. Or, I mean, haven't you read of many rich people, they buy them with gold, and robbers went there to, years later to go and take great development. Yes, we took nothing. The very body God gave us, we wrote everything. Even that one, we cannot take it anywhere. And so the resurrection that God will give bodies again to come. So you see, what is necessary is skin that treasure, our life in Christ in heaven. So verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Perhaps they thought the bridegroom would consider their effort. Actually, they went out to seek to buy. You see, they thought he would consider the effort, despite missing his requirement. You see, people think that they can ignore what the Bible tells us. And yet, Christ, well, God somehow, at least God knows that we are all sinners. We are all not perfect. So he went to allow. No! If God they don't have, he said, I never knew you. So their partial preparation was as good as nothing. They had their lamps, they had but the oil couldn't last there. People have religion, have kind of Christianity. And that is not the Bible saying. We should have the genuine one. That is what will last us to the day of judgment. Or the countless efforts of many who are, the effort many are putting into their Christianity, which is not in the Bible. Many think that many good works will, give them abundance of entrance to heaven. Many think that trying to become outwardly be seen as a good person give them acceptance in heaven. But no. In 2 Timothy 2:9, we are told that the foundation of God's standard show, having this, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord, whatever we claim, the Lord knows those that he has saved. He knows those that are his. But my question to you is, does the Lord know you? Yes, you claim to follow, but does he know you? Nobody can challenge you for that. We are all at free and at liberty to claim that we know him. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in Revelation, so that these are those who will be ushered into heaven? Those who have their names, because when the Lord Jesus Christ saves anyone, he knows, hear my sheep, hears my voice, and they follow me. Are you a sheep of Christ? Have you repented of sin? Have you gone to him? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? Have you asked him to change you? Take away your pride and vain desires and really the desires put in you that have that yearns after God from morning to evening. Even when I'm doing my business, whatever, I am moved the sense that this world is not my own. Even when I have abundance in this world, I am moved the thought that they are nothing compared to my grace, my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we come to that level? Will Jesus welcome you when this life passes over? Even not when he comes, even this life. When the day of your death comes, will he welcome you? Like Stephen, who had that joy at his death. Apostle Paul said that to be absent of his body, to be present with the Lord. Can you say that? If you can't say that, and you claim to be Christian, then be careful. For this parable tells us that we should be careful. So the whole parable shows how far people may go in profession of Christianity, and yet at last be shut out of heaven because they were careless. Sapra James Mankofo, the cost to Omukis or Sunu, even sometimes obey injuries and obey Janoma the brave, but not because of one loose foundation. Whatever you do, you deny whatever, it doesn't matter. Ombe Kumwa Suna heaven, no, we do not come on. For your virgins, we know, I'm carrying my lamps. I'm doing a Sugo movie. I'm on Antico, baby. I was that there was no cars, so they might have walked to the house. They done all the labors of the wise, but they lost that vital point. Their life in Christ. That's why Christians, hypocrite Christians lose. So we see that hypocrite Christians do not obtain that one thing needful, the life in Christ. That's what I'm saying. Verse 13, the last caution. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We will know we are watching if we have sought the Lord's forgiveness. For that's the beginning. And are living in obedience to him. That's the only way we can know. We can never know we are watching because we come to church, we pray, we read. If we have known his forgiveness for our sins, And we, if in after forgiveness, we are covered with the grace to live and obey Him, that His will be done, not ours. And always in everything, we are, even when we have fallen short of it, we pray for repentance and seek it again so that His will be done in our life, in everything we do. And begin with forgiveness. And my question to you is, are you, have you come, is your Christianity through this process? Are you, is your Christianity, has it begun with forgiveness of your sin? Has it begun when you went to the cross and cried to the Lord and you confessed your sins, looking after His death for you, the Holy One dying for you as a sinner, and knowing that He has died in your place? Are you? If not, just, I mean, as you have, like, you can still come to Him. Call upon Him. He will receive you. As He has said, whoever comes to Him, we will never cast him out. May the Lord help us as we think through this great parable, as this is the beginning of the year, to help us respect of our Christianity, so that the days to come will be a blessing for us. Let's pray together.